In the morning, when you get up, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. So then, it's Holy Cross Day every day, if the small catechism is anything to go by. And if not, why not? Well, there's pious Helena, Constantine's mother, and her finding the true cross. And then all the chips. And the elector Frederick, not yet so wise, you remember, tickled pink to have a chip for his big bash All Saints' Day in 1517. We had a reformation to get rid of all of that, and so also all superstitious making of the sign of the cross. Waving your hand around, what good can that do? Frightfully external and physical, and certainly not very spiritual, and quite dead if severed and left by itself. How spiritual and how physical was your getting up this morning? Couldn't check in with the Lord until you'd collected your spiritual capacities. So when did you have enough of them lined up? What part of you do? You're praying with hands, knees, mouth, brain. You can pray without hands, without knees, without mouth, but not without your brain. That has to be working and concentrated. If you start to think of something else, it simply doesn't count at all. Remember the Apollinarians who thought that your thinker was the part of you that was most apt to be connected with God. You will have observed that all of this talk is so much about myself. And no prayer ever starts there. Prayer is calling upon the name of the Lord. And if he hadn't given you his name to call upon, then your prayer would indeed be nothing but talk about yourself and to a God projected to suit your wishes, and a God that then keeps going only as long as he's delivering on your wishes and keeping going only as long as you keeping him going. From such prayer, which can be awesomely religious, you have been set free. He put his name on you with the water of your baptism. And if as an infant, how many of your spiritual capacities did you then have on alert? Name and water, that's baptism. But name is there as it's spoken, and it is only spoken if there's a mouth there to speak it and a hand there to do the watering along with the name. All very physical. Words and water, and as the Large Catechism confesses, we see a man speaking and doing, but what he is speaking and doing is in the name of the Lord, and what is in the Lord's name is the Lord's own speaking and doing by the mouth and hands that he has put there as his instruments for his use in his speaking and his doing. And of that there is no doubt when the speaking and doing, the wording and the watering are spoken and done as mandated by the Lord. Most of us don't remember our baptism, yet as baptized, the Lord has made us his own, brought us to life as his own, not just back then. The life he thus has given is given to the whole of you with never a place or a time where this does not hold. Pantas tas hemeras. Each day lived one at a time. So daily, says the small catechism, our baptism is to have its repenting, forgiving, and enlivening way with us. And so the small catechism bids us begin each day as those whom the Lord has baptized, for us then to live each day in the confidence and with the resources given us by baptism. It's hazardous to attempt to live any day as if you were not baptized. What the Lord does is for sure. There isn't much else that is. When he baptized you, he did it in a way that left no doubt that it was he who was doing the baptism and that you are the one he baptized. Now, it is a bit difficult to get all of that running through your brain first thing in the morning. If your brain is still checking in, your hand may do it with its calling on the name of the Lord, which may pull the mouth into saying it, all of which is evoked by his having given you his name, which is never a dead thing brought to life by us when we check in. But wherever it is doing itself, doing himself, whose name it is and whose name he is the doer of. Dear Lord, please be doing your name with me today. And in that prayer, the whole of you, none of you is left out of where his name is at, where he is doing his name. And where that is located by the sign of the Holy Cross, which is the cipher of his name. Some early accounts of baptism suggest the attempt that the whole name of God is to be inscribed on the person being baptized. Space available would suggest some abbreviation, but Jesus would say it, and if not the whole name, then his mark, which says his name, Savior. The Lord God for this child, his name, such a God he is, confessed with the cross, and for whom he is such a God, is confessed by the making of the sign of the Holy Cross upon yourself. You are one upon whom he put his name with the water of your baptism. All summed up. Remembered, zakad, by making the sign of the Holy Cross. The small catechism puts first things first, after that something more, but all three steps don't have to be all at once. Space available is hinted at, but you get all three of it, even if not all at once, to get you going into the day baptized by him, and with him doing his name on all of you all through the day. When you begin to think of yourself or your day in pieces, and some piece wants to go its own way, Satan's strategy is one little isolated piece at a time. Then making the sign of the Holy Cross and the name will help clear away what's getting in our Lord's way, blocking out his name. From this, preserve us, dear Father in heaven. Let's pray some catechism. Let's kneel.